You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. What you just heard was the murder of Alex Pretty by ICE in Minneapolis. 10 shots in 5 seconds. 10 shots to a man whose only thing he had in his hand was a phone to record the crimes that ICE was committing in his community. Another victim to the tally of Trump's secret police after Keith Porter, Renee Nicole Good, and the 37 people that have died in ICE custody in the past year in 1 month alone. I want you listeners to be clear that what we witnessed was a public execution. It was not an accident or an untrained ICE agent, like the Democrats are calling them. They did exactly what they were trained to do, which is to execute the wishes of the far right and the millionaires, who see immigrants as lesser and U.S. citizens who try to help them as opposition that needs to be squashed and intimidated. No amount of training will change a secret police force that has been formed after 9/11 to terrorize the Muslim neighbors and is now being used to target immigrants and U.S. citizens alike. They do not need to be trained. They need to be abolished. ICE is just the tip of the funnel that drives Trump's plan of mass deportation. Everything in his capitalist system is a business for the millionaire class, even immigration. Geo Group running immigrant detaining centers all over the country. The airlines carrying deportation flights. The thousands of black SUVs with tinted windows that Ford, Chevrolet, and Cadillac sell to ICE. Or the local Sarasota tent rental business, you remember, U.S. Tent Rental, that drives in and out of Alligator Alcatraz to build an immigration concentration camp. All of them are connected, and if our politicians had to choose between them and us, they would choose them every single time. We will talk about the aftermath, which seems to have been a strategic retreat from Trump's administration. Greg Bobbino is out of Minneapolis. The man who has walked the streets of the city for weeks doing Nazi cosplay and taunting residents is finally leaving. But no worries, Trump is sending his so-called border czar, Tom Hotman. The man who was Obama's darling's head of ICE and received the presidential rank award for him in 2015. This is not an improvement, but rather an aesthetic cleaning of face to appease the Democratic Governor Tim Walz and Democratic Mayor Frey, who have been dormant at the wheel for weeks while the city was invaded. But not everything is bad news today. A new movement is emerging out of this. The people of Minneapolis rose up on January 3rd, just one day before Alex was murdered, by shutting down the entire city, and people showed that they have the power to stop the economy when our politicians don't listen to us. Now, they are asking the country to do the same for January 30th, and we will tell you how you can help. Today on The Ruthless Truth, we will talk about Alex Pretty, ICE reign of terror, and how we are and will be fighting back. Welcome to the revolution. You are listening to The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I am here with our comrade, Ira. Hi, Ira. Thank you for joining today.
Hello, Ruth. I'm happy to be back, and especially with such an important episode coming up.
Yes. But how about we get started with the true update so that our listeners can know what has been happening in our community right here in Tampa Bay?
Absolutely. This past week, Tampa Bay Immigrant Solidarity Network had a packed out volunteer meeting this past Saturday to organize and build momentum around ending the 287G contract between the St. Petersburg Police Department and ICE. After a political orientation at the meeting, 150 volunteers took to the street, going door to door to talk with neighbors and collect signatures for a petition calling for the contract to be canceled. If you live in St. Petersburg and want to get involved, visit www.n287g.com to sign the petition and stay engaged. Now, there's also a 287G agreement in our very own Sarasota. In the city of Sarasota, the city commission is a governing body that can influence local law enforcement policy. The commission recently elected Debbie Trice as mayor, who serves with four commissioners: Jen Alhern Koch, Liz Alpert, Kyle Batty, and Kathy Kelly. We urge Sarasota residents to reach out to these local leaders and demand its cancellation as well. Yesterday at 7 p.m., there was a candlelight vigil for Alex Preddy and all victims of ICE at Five Points Park. Attendees honored ICE victims with donations to local mutual aid efforts. Food for Our Neighbors is an ongoing food drive run by the Church of the Trinity, MCC, Tampa Bay Immigrant Solidarity Network, that always needs donations of non-perishable food as well as monetary donations to purchase fruit, vegetables, milk, eggs, etc. Go to the Ruthless Truth Instagram to see the flyer for most needed items, as well as drop-off times. There is a QR code to make monetary donations on there as well. Currently, the Tampa Bay Immigrant Solidarity Network is helping a mother in our region as her baby will soon be having a major surgery. This mother will be missing work for the baby's recovery and has no benefits or pay time off. To alleviate her stress, financial assistance, size 2T zip-up onesies, gauze, and diapers for £22 would be the most helpful for her at this time. Thank you for standing in solidarity and supporting our immigrant neighbors. Our listeners' presence means so much to these families.
Thank you so much for those updates. And I'm so glad that we mentioned Baby J, we are calling him. So we have Mom E and Baby J. And Baby J is having brain surgery. So it's something that will be very impactful. Mom is very nervous and she needs our support because she does live paycheck to paycheck. And unfortunately, her partner was deported last year. So please go to our Instagram for more information of how you can help. And Ira, why don't we start at the very beginning? Let's dig a little bit into the history of Somalis in Minneapolis.
So, absolutely. One of the big questions I see people asking is, why were there so many ICE agents and National Guard in Minneapolis in the first place? Now, there are a couple reasons, but the main one is that the Trump administration was seeking to terrorize the Somali immigrant population there. Now, Minneapolis is the place with the highest diaspora of Somalis in America. And let's get into the reason why. Somali people have been immigrating to the U.S. since the 1990s because they were fleeing civil war and American intervention. That's the key. This is, once again, the real culprit is America for forcing these people to leave their homes due to our imperialism abroad. Minneapolis and St. Paul, like I said, they have the highest diaspora of Somalis, but also Somalis are very much an underserved population in Minneapolis. More than half, that's 52% of the children in Somali immigrant homes in Minnesota live in poverty. That's compared to only 8% of children in native-headed homes that are in poverty. So there are a lot of disparities. Now, I do want to address that before we get into debunking some of the racist lies. There was an incident in Minneapolis involving embezzlement with a charity called Feeding Our Future. But this singular incident should not be reflected on Somali immigrants, especially since the leader of the charity was a white woman, right? Like, when white people commit crimes, they are judged as individuals, while people of color are judged as the entire race. And yet, we see this narrative of Somalis stealing money or embezzling, and that's something that we're going to hear Trump say again and again, that there's taking money from Minneapolis. This narrative actually started with right-wing racist influencers and content creators. who would harass Somalis with cameras, make up conspiracy theories. YouTuber Nick Shirley posted a video claiming to have exposed fraud at a Somali-owned daycare center in Minnesota. Mostly, and all he has to show for it are scenes where he's turned away at the daycare. They didn't let him in. I'm sure you've seen clips of that online, right, Ruth?
Yes, no wonder I saw a report that said that the Trump administration was paying influencers to do propaganda. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, we gotta know like where these narrative comes from. It feeds back into each other. And he gets turned away and they don't let him film children at a daycare, thank God. And because of that, these videos get passed around on the right-wing social media as evidence that there's fraud, which is clearly crazy. Now, media like this reinforces xenophobic tropes about the Somali community. And like we said, when a group of white people commit white-collar crimes, the news doesn't talk about white people crime, right? This is a deliberate propaganda campaign to drum up fear about everyday working-class people in an attempt to scapegoat them for the failures of capitalism. We don't blame white people for the recession, and despite the fact that I'm pretty sure almost all of those involved were white men, right? But we don't call it the white people recession.
Exactly.
So Anna Costa, who leads the Immigration and Human Rights Clinic at the University of Minnesota Law School, says the very real world consequence is that it's going to exacerbate the situation that we have in Minnesota right now, where we have a lot of people, including U.S. citizens or people with lawful status, being arrested and detained by ICE. She says that these videos reinforce xenophobic tropes about the Somali community, specifically tying the community to fraud. And she worries about the increase in DHS visits to daycares, which could be a pretext to simultaneously conducting immigration detentions. They're doing these visits at daycare sites under the auspices of conducting a fraud investigation. But if they happen to see anyone who fits a profile, they might be arrested. So yeah, they're using these daycare lies in particular to snoop around daycares. That's people who have children that they're harassing, and the children themselves. We've seen how they've been treating children. It's absolutely horrible. So Trump's rhetoric has always been unsurprisingly disgusting. He's gone as far as saying that Somalis are garbage and that, quote, we don't want them in our country. Now, this sentiment has been spread online, and it's becoming increasingly normalized. I've actually even heard misinformation at anti-ICE protests that I've been to by protesters about a Somali community, you know, not as like, you know, racist, but still misinformation nonetheless. But luckily, people are coming together and taking to the streets to protect their Somali brothers and sisters. The working class of Minneapolis is in solidarity with the Somali community and refutes these racist narratives. So don't lose hope. And don't let the administration or these right-wing influencers think that they can control the narrative of an entire population of people.
Yes, thank you so much for that background on the Somalian community and the reality that they have been living there in Minneapolis. Let's go ahead and get into our main program, which is Alex Pretty. The president, as we know, has his own army. His army doesn't answer to Congress, and he's using his private militia to kill American citizens and immigrants. But this, as you know, Ira, did not start this year. It has been going on for decades since they were, you know, slave catchers that set the tone for America's policing system. It's only January and the ICE domestic terrorists have slaughtered a civilian in the streets again. Alex Pretty was murdered while protecting a woman from ICE. We now know that he was a loving and caring nurse who loved others so much that he died protecting others. But make no mistake, his death is a murder regardless of the excuses presented by corporate media, Trump, and the terrorist ICE organization. The murder of Alex Pretty has shaken us to our core. He is the second U.S. citizen this month to be murdered by ICE agents in Minnesota, but a total of 9 people have already died in total between those that were shot and those that have died in detention just in this year alone. To be clear, these broad daylight killings are nothing new. Other U.S. citizens have also been murdered throughout the years for participating in resistance against our government. That is the case of Viola Luiso, in 1965, where she was murdered by four members of the KKK during the Black Liberation Movement. The message from our government then and the message from our government now has been the same. If you dare to fight back, if you dare to defy the system, if you dare to say we don't want this in this community, and we, meaning the government, will destroy your life and even murder you in broad daylight, as we have seen. The video of Alex Brody's murder is very hard to see, so I'd like to just read a brief description that was made on social media by journalist, writer, author, speaker, and college professor Stacey Patton, and it reads, open quote, "What makes that video so unbearable to watch isn't only that an ICE agent killed Alex Pretty. It's that in the middle of being shoved, stroked, and repeatedly blasted in the face with chemical spray, his body kept doing one thing, reaching. Reaching for a woman who had been knocked down. Reaching for clarity through the burning in his eyes. Reaching to put himself between her and whatever was coming next. You can see that he is disoriented, choking, and staggering, but his instinct is protection. He is impostering or trying to be a hero for the camera. He's trying to focus so that he can shield somebody else. His nervous system is under attack, his vision blurred, his lungs are on fire, and yet his moral center doesn't collapse inward. He expands outward towards another human being in danger. Maybe he knew her, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But that's besides the point. What this footage shows us is a man whose first reflex under state violence was not self-preservation at all costs, but solidarity, care. The ancient, almost forgotten impulse to say, you are not going to face this alone. That's why his killing was so devastating. The state didn't shoot a protester. It shot someone who was trying to protect a woman. He shot a man whose last visible choice was compassion, whose final posture was not aggression, but guardianship. And that is the deepest obscenity of the footage. It's watching a system built on force extinguish a body that was, even in terror, still reaching for love." End quote. This is just so devastating, because if you watch the video, that's exactly what you see. You see him protecting that woman no matter what happened. No matter how much they shoved him, put chemicals in his eyes, that's what he continued to do. Yeah, but Ira, this brings us to a more important analysis, right?
Absolutely. And I want to go back to what journalist and professor Stacey Patton said. "Now that it's dead white bodies in the street, legal gun owners and American citizens in the frame, suddenly the language changes to authoritarian, propaganda, police state, dictatorship. Even the NRA is breaking with the official story. Black folks have been naming this machinery for generations. Now the videos are going viral. White folks are calling this regime what we've always called it. So the question is simple and devastating. Now that state terror has crossed the color line, do white folks finally believe us? And the harder one, what will they do with all this outrage and knowledge?" Food for thought, I think, as we move on to the next section of our program. Alex Pretty's murder will not be the last. Trump's private army will continue to kill. It's likely it'll go back to murdering immigrants, since murdering U.S. citizens has not worked out too well for them too far. We now know that just as our silence has never protected us from oppression, whiteness will not protect you either. This is why we don't support the mixing of immigration with national security. Because with that excuse, they are implementing a system of white supremacy. You know, if you're white and you are listening, it is time to betray your whiteness. We need that more today than ever. You know, we don't just need allies, we need accomplices. We must act like we can radically change the world because we can.
Yes, we can, Ira. Thank you so much. Now, the family of Alex Pretty also put out a statement telling us a little bit about him, right?
Absolutely. And I'd love to get into that, because I think his parents' words are very important. "We are heartbroken, but also very angry. Alex was a kind-hearted soul who cared deeply for his family and friends, and also the American veterans whom he cared for as an ICU nurse at the Minneapolis VA hospital. Alex wanted to make a difference in the world. Unfortunately, he will not be with us to see his impact. I do not throw around the hero term lightly. However, his last thought and act was to protect a woman. The sickening lies told about our son by the administration are reprehensible and disgusting. Alex is clearly not holding a gun when attacked by Trump's murdering and cowardly ICE thugs. He has his phone in his right hand, and his empty left hand is raised above his head while trying to protect the woman ICE just pushed down, all while being pepper sprayed. Please get the truth out about our son. He was a good man. Thank you. So those are words by his parents, and I think we should all do that. That's why we need to read this off today, because he was a good person. They're going to try to slander him, and we need to speak out and defend this innocent person who was murdered against the narratives that they are spreading about him. The Trump administration is spreading, just like they did Renee Good, just like they will do all the victims, just like they will do to any of us. If one of us are killed by ICE, they will attempt to slander us. And that is why we need to push back. But there is good news on the horizon. Isn't that right, Ruth? Isn't there been an update about ICE's action in Minneapolis?
Yes. They are. ICE is actually doing some type of retrieving. We know that Greg Bibino was asked many direct questions about the murder, obviously, to everyone on CNN. On his responses, which usually follow the same narrative as the lying White House, were unconvincing. Immediately after ICE murdered Alex, CNN reporting on the killing but didn't show the video, they said they still did not have time yet to verify the validity of the video. However, at the same time, and without verifying the validity of DHA statements, they share on the screen that Alex Pretty was armed as a way to justify his murder. I felt that they did pick a side. Trump's legitimacy with a faction of the ruling class is actually collapsing. Trump will always throw his underlings under the bus. So he's trying to pin this social defeat by scapegoating Greg Bovino. Greg is an easy one to pin evil, competent plans on, as he's the man who dons trench coat fashion after the SS garb. Sieg hailed out of a car window in New York City and applauds the violent murder of civilians on air with no shame. The fight for our immigrant neighbors is far from over. We will not stop until ICE is abolished, not just that he leave. You know, a law along with the billionaire invested in who benefits from these punitive white supremacist policies. We know that Tim Walsh Guard was handing out free donuts and coffee to anti-ICE protesters in Minneapolis on Monday. One thing that we got to learn is to recognize that we are not always going to be facing outright violence, and that it is fundamental we recognize counter-insurgency tactics that are not them shooting at us always, but are sometimes even more effective at stopping resistance. These tactics are so effective because people want to believe them. They work because people are still clinging to the idea that they are parts of this system and this empire that can be salvaged and are there to protect us. And refusing to let go of this is going to get people killed. This is not a whole. This is not hope. Do not sell out the people for coffee or donuts. And this was written by Gabby Alligueira, who is a local organizer. But Ira, so Trump is basically removing Greg Bovino, but he will be replacing him with Tom Homan, which is, you know, what I see as a problem here. It's not really that we are getting anything better. I think what one thought that I used this morning to explain this situation is that evil too is leaving. And it's going to be replaced by Evil One, who has been in the system longer, who, you know, was in power under Obama. And we know how that went. Obama ended up deporting 1.3 million people, and he did it with a smile, but he did more damage than Trump has done so far. So It's important for us to know that this is just a scapegoat situation to blame somebody and pretend that the problem has been solved. However, until ICE is abolished, the problem has been solved and we need to continue our resistance. And that brings me to resistance. We have had a really good week of resistance all over the country. So why don't we talk a little bit about that as we also kind of, celebrate this partial win in a way, right?
Absolutely. People are out there. People are involved. People are out on the streets in ways that we have not seen before. So there is reason for optimism throughout this. In the midst of so much pain, Minnesotans have a partial win. The Trump administration and his private terrorist army will be leaving Minnesota. The statement they released states that some ICE agents will be leaving, but we don't know how many. Regardless, this is a win for the people. They are running scared. This past weekend, people rallied, protested, and marched in cities all over the country. And over 100,000 people came out in Minneapolis. Several states have protested in several cities covering the entire state. People went out into the street in 10-degree weather.
Here we are complaining over 38 and 42 degrees.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a testament to their strength and resilience to brave the elements like that. Men, women, and children of conscience refused to go home. Minnesotans and their supporters from all over the country engaged in an economic shutdown in the state of Minnesota and in their respective cities and states. From colleges and universities to high schools staged mass walkouts in protest right here in Sarasota. We saw the most impressive organizing by students at Booker High that we've seen in recent years. Close to an estimated 70 students class on Tuesday, January 20th, and went to the school board meeting to make their voices heard in opposition to the school board's proposal to work with and allow ICE in our schools. Following that, the Sarasota community rallied Saturday all over downtown, a rally to march which brought out an impressive amount of young students who are fed up. On Sunday, about 75 people attended the regular immigration vigils, which are held every Sunday at Payne Park. Those attending brought even more food than before to donate to immigrant families. Public outrage has been fueled by the state-sanctioned murder of Renee Nicole Good earlier this month. Her death sparked daily grassroots protests long before Friday's shutdown. And this isn't just a protest. It's a movement crossing lines that usually keep people separate. Labor and faith leaders, students and elders, Black, Indigenous, immigrant, and white communities, and signal to the rulers and controllers of global capital that this is not business as usual. Now, this brings me to why we need a general shutdown. Only an expression of people's power on a historic scale can push back a ruling class offensive of this magnitude. A general shutdown is when workers of all types walk off the job, people boycott shopping in school, and massive mobilizations take place. A general shutdown shows in a way that it is impossible to ignore that workers, us, we make the country run. And if we withhold our labor, then nothing gets done. Trump and his billionaire friends have all the money in the world, but the people have overwhelming strength in numbers. We're the only ones who make society run. A general shutdown can stop Trump in his track.
Yes, yes, definitely. And I think that we are building up to it. Are you getting that feeling?
I can feel something brewing that we haven't seen since 2020, to be honest.
And some people call it a general shutdown, but we can also use the word of a general strike, which is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it builds up to a national strike, right?
Yes, this has been a very organic call from the people, from various student groups and faith organizations coming out of Minnesota. They are calling for everyone to walk out of your schools, off the job, and away from stores this Friday, January 30th. No one should have to walk out alone. So let people know, let your friends know, let your family know, anyone who can afford to, call in sick, take the day off, don't shop, take a sandwich to the park with your friends and discuss how We are going to get together and fight back against this attack on our rights.
Yes. And people can endorse the call, right? So we can sign the petitions that are going around in addition to participating on the 30th. And I know that the students in high schools are on it. They are organizing walkouts from schools, but we can also organize walkouts from our jobs and definitely walk out from any store. There should be absolutely no shopping this Friday, January 30th. I mean, also people can share. Anytime you see things like this on social media, go ahead and share it because not all of the corporate media is actually showing the resistance. You know, a lot of the resistance is being suppressed by corporate media. We'll try to silence us because we are the majority and they are actually very afraid of our actions and our pushback. They're afraid of us organizing.
All right, and we are coming to the end of our show, Ruth. It's been a great one with you, but let's let the people know what's coming up next.
Yes, net in the neighborhood so that you know actions and things that you can participate in going forward. So the first one is January 30th, which we already mentioned. It's a national shutdown or a general strike. No work, no school, no shopping. We need a full economic blackout. And for more information about this, you can visit nationalshutdown.org, where you can pledge to join as an individual and even as an organization. So again, nationalshutdown.org. Our next announcement is the People's Pride Coalition this Saturday, January 31st, will be hosting Queer Rocky. They will begin with a night of retro house in Ybor City with a teaching about pink washing, the strategic use of LGBTQ identity to conceal harmful practices. And then they will be moving across the street to La Settima Club for karaoke. They have a $5 donation, and you can go to People's Pride Coalition for more information. They reaffirm Pride with no cops, corporations in a safe space for all alternative folks. And that address is 815 East 7th Avenue in Tampa in Ybor City. Now, our third announcement is Palmetto is fighting back. Come out to the organizing meeting on Saturday, January 31st, to join the fight to stop police violence in Palmetto, Florida. They will be discussing updates of the Justice for Briante campaign, which we have been very involved in, and their newest fight to stop the racist juvenile curfew policy from passing in the city commission. All ages are welcome. This policy affects teens. So if you are a teen in the Manatee Court juvenile curfew negatively impacts your life and ability to move freely, please join the fight back. That is again January 31st at noon at the Palmetto Branch Library in Palmetto.
And that is all we have for you today, listeners. Thank you so much, Ruth, for having me on this episode.
Yes, thank you for being here. And I'm sure that we'll be here again. You know, the attacks are not going to end. And the resistance against those attacks are also not going to end. So this is an ongoing conversation. And to our listeners, we will see you again next week at the same time. Until then, we hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight. See you in the streets.